A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Message is intended for all Quebecers. We must take extreme measures to curb the pandemic. Only essential services remain open. Gatherings are prohibited. It's forbidden to leave your home between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. These efforts aim to protect our healthcare workers, seniors, and loved ones. Let's comply with the lockdown.
The simplest gestures are our best protection to fight the virus. That's why we need to continue following basic health measures, such as keeping a 2-meter distance from others, wearing a mask, and washing our hands regularly. Avoid travel and non-essential trips. And if you develop symptoms, be sure to get tested promptly and follow self-isolation guidelines. See all of the measures in place at quebec.ca/coronavirus. Let's continue to protect ourselves. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
The production Nuit d'Afrique and TD Bank Group are proud to present
a musical encounter between Africa and First Nation.
Ming Mafrika, Jelly Tapa, and Anna Schneeb on the stage of the National and broadcast live on the Nuit d'Afrique Facebook page Friday, February 26th at 8 p.m. More information on productionnuitdafrique.com.
CKUT, Henry Grimes, and stay tuned for more of the most aesthetic things, feelings in the world.
What? My radio stuck on CKUT. I don't know. But nah, fix it. CKUT, the number one radio station in Montreal. Give you the sun, the moon, the rain, the stars and the mountain. CKUT give you the word.
You're listening to CKUT 98.3 FM.
Good morning and welcome. This is Jazz Amok. nothing. For Milford Graves Percussion Ensemble, Milford Graves at drums, bells, gongs, and shakers, and Sonny Morgan at drums and bells from 1964, 65, early 65 release on the ESP disc, the Milford Graves Percussion Ensemble. Good morning. That opens this morning's edition of Jazz Amok. Here as usual on a Friday morning right here on CKUT 90.3 FM at www.ckut.ca. John B., your host here for this week's edition of the program. Do hope you can stick around. We're going to celebrate and revel in the music of the late, great Milford Graves, who passed away, I guess, 2 weeks ago today, now at the age of 79. Of course, a musician, but also an acupuncturist, a martial artist, a professor, a visual artist, and a very creative spirit indeed. We're going to start this set off with something featuring, of course, Milford Graves at the drums, as working as part of the New York Art Quartet circa 1964. Milford Graves, drums, percussion, John Kachai, and Roswell Rudd, of course, the leaders, spearheaders of the project. Rudd at trombone, Chakai at alto sax, and for this outing, Louis Worrell at the bass. The self-titled debut recording from the Art Quartet of New York on ESP Discs. This is number 6, all right here in Jazz Amok. Thank you.
There was a lot of talk about the so-called new music movement or avant-garde music, or as Mama Baraka used to call it at the time, black music in the 60s. There was a lot of talk, and I heard it from all sources. I heard it from white sources, black sources, you know, that there was a lot of people felt, a lot of respected people felt, that there was a definite political movement in this country to stop so-called, at that time they would call it, oh, they used to call it new black music a lot, was another term used. There was a political movement to stop the music. Because if you take at the time Sun Ra, if you take even Pharoah, you know, a lot of people don't relate sometimes to the new music, you know, literature-wise. But if you take Albert, Giuseppe Logan was involved in that, and Dewey Johnson, and I mean, you can go right on down the list. And of course, I was involved in that. And most of us at that time were very active at a lot of different political events that was taking place in the black community, whether it was Bedford Stuy, whether it was Harlem. There was a lot of political fundraisings, and a lot of people were very upset that we were told were very upset that the musicians were involved with so-called militant black leaders or civil rights leaders. It was told to me on several occasions that if I don't start playing downtown, that the music industry was going to just negate me totally, you know. But it was all this kind of talk. But anyway, it was told by sometimes people who were considered reliable sources that there was a definite political movement to stop the music, you know. There was different movements trying, it was the musicians was trying to organize, but for some reason it was always being stopped. But the importance really that I feel about this music is that historically there was different times in this country from social, political conditions that caused this music to make various changes. And those changes was always in relationship to like the more or less freedom and the more or less growth of oppressed people, not just black people.
Right.
I mean, total, because there were white musicians involved as well.
That's right. See,
so
that's,
this is just not a black music. You know, it was a people's music.
Right.
It just so happens that there were the greater majority of musicians that was involved was black musicians. But this music was like a growth factor for a new awakening. And we all know that music is very powerful. It's a gathering force, you know. I mean, people, it's an indirect way to communicate to people. They get abstract thoughts before they start to condense them into something that becomes like a sort of logical kind of a way to do things. So I think that the music was going to direct people into another area of consciousness. So that's the very importance of the music, as compared to music today, that it doesn't work on a sort of conscious state that can, it makes you puppets, you know. You're constantly moving around in a circle where there's no kind of opening out, you know,
right.
You're caught. But, you know, like there were musicians in the 60s who had really came across something that maybe academically or technically didn't have a good understanding of what they were doing.
They
that was
sure.
made to think that what they were doing was totally, like, not happening because they couldn't, like, intellectually talk about the music. And I think it was a regression for a lot of people because certain people had a new kind of way. I know one trumpet player, one of our greatest trumpet players from the bebop era, and I don't have to mention his name because he should be here. I mean, who else could I be talking about? Who we played on tour with in Europe. And I seen him, like, I mean, for me, it was such an inspiration, you know. And it was Dizzy Gillespie. When I saw Dizzy Gillespie sitting in front of my drums and I seen Dizzy Gillespie's head starting to move in all kind of ways, that made me want to make his head just come off of his neck. You know what I mean? You know, because I said, go, Diz, because, you know, I used to watch Diz do that. And I said, for Diz to be sitting in front of my drums. And next minute, I know Diz was on the stage with his camera taking photos of us. So that was a hell of an inspiration. You know what I mean? New music, too. You know what I mean? So anyway, I had this trumpet player with me. And this guy didn't know nothing about scales or anything, but he had something else happening on trumpet. I seen another musician hire him, and he came back and told me, he says, hey, Milford, man, I didn't know this guy couldn't read music, man. I asked him to read charts, and he couldn't read it. He said, man, when I heard this guy, I didn't know. I thought this guy, man, been to all kind of conservatories. I know another trumpet player, a great trumpet player today. I asked him when he got off the stage and told him all these high notes he was hitting. He said, man, what is this guy talking about? What high notes? This guy didn't know what he was doing. And that's what I hired him for. I said, hey, man, you don't have to, don't worry about nothing. I said, just play, man. Because I said, and I know somebody else used him that he definitely couldn't cut his music, but they wanted him for solos, man. Because this guy had another thing happening on trumpet, you know. And next minute I know this guy, but he's not functioning now, man. He was made to think after that, he was not happening, man. Because there were some trumpet players, man, you talking about, you can't play, you can't play. And no, it wasn't enough of guys telling him, respectable musicians telling him that you do have something. So, I mean, what I'm saying is, sure, there were a lot of musicians that something was, there was a birth taking place. You know, the analyzation came after, and that's how this music started. It was a feeling that came out of the 60s that was opening up something, and that was stopped, man. It was squashed, you know? And that is the shame about what happened then.
Thank you.
Milford Graves, solo percussion from the album Grand Reunification, a 1998 release on the Tzadik recording label. Transcendence, the name of that piece. John Zorn coaxing Milford Graves into recording a couple beautiful releases, solo releases on the Tzadik recording label. And that was the first one. 1998 is when that was released and recorded. Prior to that, Black Woman from 1969, Sonny Sherrick outing, and we heard the title track. But of course, with Sonny Sherrick at the guitar, Milford Graves at the drums, Norris Jones, at the bass, Dave Burrell at the piano, and Linda Sherrick, of course, at voice. Black Woman from Sonny Sherrick and his band. Milford Graves before that working with Bill Laswell from a 2013 outing entitled Space Time Redemption, released on the Finnish TUM recording label. And that was a piece entitled Sonny Sherrick. Of course, both Graves and Laswell having played with Sonny Sherrick. Giuseppe Logan before that leading a quintet outing. Quartet outing, I should say, excuse me. His debut recording on the ESP disc entitled More, recorded in 1965, and featuring Don Pullen at the piano, Reggie Johnson at the bass, Milford Graves at the drums, and Giuseppe Logan at reeds, and some flute and piano work, of course, as well. Prior to that, Milford Graves and some part of an interview, I guess an excerpt or part of an interview, let's put it that way, from the mid-60s and subject, The New Black Music, from the Albert Eiler story released a number of years ago, a couple decades ago now, on the ESP disc. Prior to that, Milford Graves' solo performance, Territorial Moods was the name of the piece that we took from Stories, the second Tzadik release, solo release, this one from the year 2000. Prior to that, Paul Blay leading an outing with Marshall Allen at alto sax, Dewey Johnson at the trumpet, Paul Blay, of course, at the piano, Eddie Gomez at the bass, and Milford Graves at drums and percussion, and that also recorded in 64, released in 1965. Prior to that, from 1999, the New York Art Quartet and the 35th reunion concert and release. And that was a piece entitled Visiting Ogun. Amiri Baraka, part of the project, of course, with Roswell Rudd and John Chakai still involved. Milford Graves at the drums and Reggie Workman at the bass. That's a DIW release out of Japan, 35th reunion, released in 2000. We started everything off with the New York Art Quartet circa 1965. Louis Worrell at the bass. And a piece entitled Number 6, of course, Milford Graves at the drums. You can find that on the ESP recording label. This is Jazz Muck. We're at CKUT. We can be found at 90.3 FM in Montreal and also at www.ckut.ca, wherever you are. My name is John B. here this week for an edition of Jazz Muck. And we'll be back after these messages.
This is Matana Roberts, and you are tuned into CKUT 90.3 FM, Montreal. Montreal, a city that I love, 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 love.